Hi, thanks for listening. A great bonus chat for the Stream Feeders newsletter. It's all about kind of editing your basic business podcast. So I'm chatting with Roger Nairn, who's the CEO of podcast production agency Jar Audio. So stand by for lots of insight, lots of tips from Roger over the next 20 minutes or so. Now, if you found this audio away from the Stream Feeders newsletter, then head over to LinkedIn, do a quick search for Stream Feeders podcasting newsletter. You'll find more articles. And don't forget to subscribe as well. Let's get on with it. The first thing I asked Roger was to tell me a little bit about Jar Audio, kind of fill me in with what they do and who they work for.
Yeah, so Jar Audio is a podcast production agency that specializes in producing podcasts for brands, organizations, companies. We started about 5 years ago off the side of our desks. Yeah. I came from the advertising industry. I was a client service lead for 20 plus years, worked with some of the world's biggest agencies and some of the world's biggest brands. My partners at the time came from the journalism space and also the broadcast world. So we sat down one day for a drink and started talking about potentially working together. And where we landed on was our love of podcasts and what we saw in the market, which was brands doing it poorly. And so we said to ourselves, let's create an agency. So, you know, we operate just like any other creative agency, only we just produce, market, edit, and distribute podcasts.
Right, so it's mainly in the business world we're talking about here. So podcasts for companies.
Exactly. So some of our companies include Amazon, Lululemon, right. Expedia, IBM. Yeah. You know, we get hired to come in and do everything top to bottom for them to, you know, to reach a certain audience and create a great engaging piece of content that serves that audience.
Cool. So we're going to talk a little bit about editing. And it's one of those things where there's like 8 billion YouTube videos recording on how to edit a podcast, aren't there? There's like, you can watch the lot and never get your podcast edited ever. Would you agree with me? Because I'm absolutely convinced that most of the editing of anything should take place kind of like before and during the recording. It's the planning.
For sure the planning. Yeah, we're big believers in creating a strong plan before we go into anything we do. You know, we'll do everything from, you know, once we've found a guest for an episode or multiple guests for an episode, you know, our producers will reach out and have a pre-interview with them.
Yeah.
So we get a good understanding of where the nuggets of gold are in the conversation. We then create what we call a cue line, which is a question line, similar to, I'm sure you're using right now, where you go into the interview with some questions that you want to ask.
Yeah.
And we provide that cue line to our host. We prep the host so that they're really, you know, ready and prepared for the conversation, and it's less rambly and more focused.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, do you think kind of like looking at the environment that you might be actually recording it in as well will help? I mean, it's the old days. Like if you've got a bus going past you every 5 minutes, move somewhere else and do it.
Exactly. Yeah, we're constantly looking for the right recording environment. So we have, you know, a one sheeter for all of our guests to make sure that they're in the right environment. We'll do a tech check with our guests as well in advance. And if need be, we'll ship them the right equipment. Now, all that being said, you know, if something happens and the environment isn't perfect, you know, that's okay. You know, you probably don't want the entire podcast and every single episode to be in a poor sounding environment, but we're big believers that as long as you set up the context for the listener, you know, hey, we got a chance to catch up with Joe Smith. He was running for a plane, so he's in the middle of the airport.
Yeah.
And that's why you're going to hear, you know, like just set up a little bit of like, that's why you're going to hear some echo and some, you know, noisy space so that the listener just understands. I'll say, you know, for listeners out there, one of the absolute best podcast episodes I've ever heard was recorded for This American Life, and I forget her name, but she was a producer for the show.
Right.
And true story, she was in a hotel. She was looking to record some voiceover work for the show. So she went into her closet, which is oftentimes one of the best places to record because it's just got, you know, all sorts of great sound dampening. Well, the funny thing was that she locked herself in the closet.
Yeah.
And she wasn't able to
get
out. And so the entire episode actually turned into this recording session, which actually ended up being her telling her story about getting locked in the closet. And she recorded the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you can hear her trying to call the front desk and they're not hearing it. She's banging on the wall. And it's just, the whole episode is just this funny situation of she's trying to get out of.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. I've been in the closet in the hotel room. I've done that.
Oh, yeah.
Where, with all the cushions and the pillows and the duvet and everything like that piled around me just to try and get something that doesn't sound like you're talking in the toilet.
Exactly.
Yeah. 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 But I mean, I think there are things you could do to make your editing life easy. Like if you've got an air conditioning unit that's just going rumble, 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 rumble in the background, switch it off and sweat for 20 minutes.
You know,
it's like,
sure.
Yeah, that sort of thing will help the editing process.
Turn off your desktop notifications and put your phone on, you know, put your phone on silent.
Yeah, don't tap
the
desk.
Little things like that can for sure get picked up by the recording session.
Yeah, I got a habit at the moment of clicking my pen.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've really got to stop. I need a sign in front of me say, stop clicking the pen.
Yeah. I think the other thing is sometimes we'll have a guest use like earbud headphones and sometimes the Apple microphone on those are not that bad. So, you know, if you can kind of like hold it up to your mouth and speak into it, it's great. But then sometimes they'll let go of it and it'll brush up against the whiskers on their beard or on a really scratchy sweater.
Yeah.
And get this kind of ruffling. It sounds like they're in a wrestling match or something.
Yeah. And some of those really posh earbud things or whatever they call them, that they provide so much echo because you can hear your voice coming back down the other way and it's all ridiculous. There's actually a setting in my recording system here, which I'm using to actually stop the echo on Apple earbud things.
Yeah. Also, we try to avoid the earbuds because I don't think Bluetooth has ever been able to solve the issue of switching from device to device. And we find that sometimes in the middle of a recording, somebody, you know, so the all of a sudden the Bluetooth will switch to a different device and we'll lose the guest. And I mean, I think it's important to remember for listeners that, you know, This isn't always live radio. So if something happens and if things aren't sounding great, if in your gut you're thinking this isn't good, this isn't going to work, take a pause because your guest wants it to be good as well. They just have no idea what's happening, and they're not professionals to be able to point these things out. So take a moment, say, hey, you know what? I'm getting a lot of feedback about I think it's scratching against your sweater or whatever. Let's try this again. It's not disingenuous to the listener because they're going to get a better listener experience as well. They'll never know that you've re-recorded something. And your guest is going to be much happier because it's going to be a better show in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, many, many, many times. I mean, my Not Another Marketing podcast is, I think, 152 odd episodes now. So a lot of interviews in that. And I turn around to folk and I say, can you put some headphones on, please?
Yeah.
Because it just stops the echo and stops you sounding awful.
It's interesting, just with what we've all been going through with COVID. I feel like more and more people have a better kind of audio setup than ever before because they've been living over Zoom and Skype and all these different scenarios. So luckily, more and more people have proper headphones, a proper microphone. And they also know how to use it.
Yeah.
They know, kind of when things go wrong, why it maybe switched, why the blues, the Bluetooth switched and things like that.
Yeah.
It used to be we'd spend an hour just getting people set up. And now it feels like they're a lot more ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I never have to ask anybody anymore. Accept permissions at the top right hand.
Oh, except I know.
Don't have to do that again.
I feel like we should all have a t-shirt that says accept your permissions.
Permissions, yeah. So if we take like a really basic business interview style podcast, something that's easy to record, easy to do, right? What would you say are the key things we should kind of look at when we're editing? What should we chop out?
So I think the first thing is your ums and ahs. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a lot of them.
Yeah.
I think just be really cognizant of any sort of repetition of any kind of response. I think sometimes you'll hear people explain something and then explain it again and then explain it again. And And it's just because they're passionate about the topic. And also people have a tendency to stop talking. I know I'm guilty of that.
Yes.
I sometimes think that, you know, kind of dead air is scary. So I'll just keep going.
Yeah.
So, cut out the things that feel repetitious to you. And then also just, cut out anything that perhaps, just doesn't make sense or isn't easy to grasp or understand. I think in the moment, it might have made sense, but just put yourself in the shoes of the listener. I mean, are they going to really grasp the response that was just given? And sometimes just get a second pair of ears on it. Have your partner listen, or your roommate, or somebody close by who would be able to say, like, yeah, I don't really understand what that means.
I think it's a good idea to actually listen to it when you're editing. Actually listen to it, because you can kind of get into like a little, autopilot in a way. Oh, there's an am, there's an er, there's a click, there's somebody going with their mouth or something like that, and we've got to chop this out. And you work on autopilot, you're not really listening to it. So I think it's a good idea to actually listen to it.
Well, I think, one of the tricks that we do first is we edit for the story, or we edit for the conversation.
Yeah.
And then we do sort of the fine edit, the technical edit, pulling out the ums and ahs. And so what our producers will do first, and I understand that not everybody out there has a producer hanging around, but if you're editing your podcast out there, what you can first do is get a transcript of the podcast. It doesn't have to be a perfect transcript, but just, a lot of technology these days will spit out a transcript for you. And then do what we call a paper edit. So go through and strike out anything that you think doesn't make sense, just from like a flow standpoint. I mean, we've all read, amazing books, and we know what flows and what doesn't flow. The same thing with the interview itself. If you feel like it's not really flowing, cut some stuff out. Or if you need, if you automatically know that you record an hour, but the show is only half an hour and you absolutely have to cut stuff out, it's good to start with a paper edit. And so that paper edit then becomes the roadmap for either yourself or your editor to do the audio edit. So it's actually easier for them because they're literally doing time codes and going through and just removing stuff.
Yeah,
and then once you've got that, what we would call a rough cut available, give that a listen and see if that flows better. And it's not going to be perfect, but just focus on what the flow of the conversation is like. And then once you're happy with that, then do the fine edit. So removing the ums and ahs, making sure there's proper fade in between, in between sentences, or if you've removed something, there's not a huge gap in between anything. There's a nice kind of flow audibly to the conversation as well.
Yeah. How fussy do you think we should be? I mean, there's a lot of YouTube videos out there saying get rid of every pause, every breath, all this sort of stuff, and you end up, and it sounds, I don't know, it sounds a little false, a little clinical.
Yeah. I'm a big believer in sort of going a bit less on that than they probably would. Whatever makes sense for the conversation, what makes sense for your brand, what makes sense for, does it, because I agree with you. Some of the shows just sound so sort of perfect to the point of,
yes,
is this AI?
Yeah.
And if you were to ask me a question and I were to sort of take a pause and go, that's a really interesting question that I've never been heard that I've never heard before.
Yeah. Well, you say I'd leave that in.
If you were to remove that, that's kind of, I don't know, that's kind of taking out a bit of the charm of the conversation. And I'm genuinely sort of stumped on how to respond, but I'm thinking about how to respond, and now I respond. If you just hear the response, that's, that's not wrong, but it's also kind of taking a bit away from the spirit of the conversation.
Yeah, I remember when I was about, like, oh God, I'd have been about 16 years old, I think, first gig in radio or something. A lot. This is like ancient times now, a long, long time ago. And I remember doing edits, and it was on old reel-to-reel tapes where you actually had a razor blade and a pencil, and you had to cut tape and
sellotape it together.
Splice it together, yeah. and one of the biggest mistakes I made right at the beginning when I was a young lad was to take all the breaths out. And I remember a journalist talking to me, said, God's sakes, let them breathe.
Yeah, totally. And I can just picture walking into the editing booth and just seeing all these little pieces of tape on the floor, and they're just all breaths.
Lots of little breaths everywhere. Absolutely. God, it'd be a health and safety nightmare now with all the razor blades that were lying around studios back in those days.
You'd never be able to get away with it.
You wouldn't, no. But I suppose there's trends, there's fashions, isn't there? I know with a lot of YouTube videos and clips, this idea of jump cuts, where you splice everything so close together so that you deliberately jump from one part to another part to another part, and it's very jumpy, very jerky. Do you see anything like that appearing in podcasting, or does audio kind of need to be done a little better, do you think?
I mean, again, it kind of depends on the style of audio experience that you're looking to create. You know, if your audio, I equate it to sort of like, you know, Quentin Tarantino or Baz Luhrmann style, you know, cinematic experience. That's a style that is obviously, you know, loved and popular. You can recreate that in audio as well, but it's going to create a different experience. And so it really comes down to what's right for you and your audience. Whereas something a little bit more sort of BBC style, thought out, you know, breath, you know, there's some air in between, you know, in between the conversation, and it gives people a little bit more of a relaxed experience versus sort of a frenetic style, which again is not wrong, but it, you know, it just depends on what's right for you and your show.
Yeah, sure. What kind of software do you guys use to do your edits? Is it a load of stuff, or do you stick with one suite, or?
We use a load of stuff. We use everything from Logic Pro to Hindenburg. We're big on using Descript right now, which actually allows you to take bits and pieces out of the transcript, and actually it removes it from the audio as well, if that makes sense. So it kind of links up the transcript with the audio, and it makes the edit a little bit faster and less prone to any errors in removing anything. We use a blend of tools.
What about artificial intelligence for editing your podcast? Am I being blasphemous now?
No, I mean, I think there's space for it. I wouldn't necessarily rely on it entirely, but I think that it can help. I think it can help, you know, either speed up the process or take some workload off of you.
I suppose doing noise reduction, that sort of thing, it might be useful, mightn't it? Because that could be a little quicker, couldn't it?
For sure. Yeah, I think we lean more on using that for a bit more of the texture of the conversation than the actual content itself.
I don't want to
rely on AI sort of helping to tell the story necessarily. I mean, I'm sure there will come a day where that is
light terrifying
years beyond what it is now, but... I feel like AI is a good sort of like tool in the tool belt, but not necessarily the entire tool belt.
No, and it's not very intelligent at the moment, is it? Really, let's face it.
It's not.
Fascinating. Listen, I could chat for ages and ages about this. And where can we find Jar Audio? Where's your website?
Check out Jar Audio. Check out jaraudio.com. So that's jaraudio.com. We've got a fantastic blog on there that is geared towards companies and brands looking to get into the podcast space, all sorts of information, trends, analysis on what's going on in that world. And also check us out on LinkedIn. We post a lot of great content there as well.
Fantastic. Thanks ever so much for your time, Roger. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.